This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour as another trading week gets underway. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Lisa Fielding, sitting in for Chris Crydell today. Wow, it's dark and dank and wet today. Looking out the window right now, we see lots of rain coming through the Chicagoland area. We've got about 40 degrees, cloudy, windy, mild this afternoon. Rain tapering to showers later on with highs in the 50s. Diminishing winds tonight, getting a little colder for midweek. We'll have the details in the five-day forecast coming up throughout the hour today.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Lisa, no break in the gains over the weekend. Friday's rally rolls on here. The Dow is up 238 points or more than 1% at 23,671. NASDAQ climbing 112 points, a gain of 1 2/3%, and the S&P rising 32 points. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index now higher by 1 1/3%. China's vice premier attended the first day of trade discussions, and investors think that means China is interested in resuming high-level trade negotiations with the U.S. All signs go in Beijing. That also has crude futures on the rise. They are edging closer to $50 a barrel, right now up 2.5% to $49.20. Even though the government shutdown is only partial, economists think it might take a toll on economic growth, with GDP held back by 0.2%. This shutdown on day 17 is the third longest on record. Bloomberg reports federal contractors could be out more than $200 million a day in lost or delayed revenue. Back to you, Cisco and Lisa.
And coming up later on, we're going to talk about the week ahead, including the government shutdown, how it's affecting markets and how it affects you, of course. And later on, the cost of that missed field goal.
Stock Picker Monday on the show. An investing pro will be with us to give you some advice for your portfolio. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Buy, sell, listen. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
There's a financial cost to the Bears' painful playoff loss. We'll cover that in our next segment. The week ahead will include key data as trade with China and the partial government shutdown remain top issues. We're joined now by Tom Hudson, the week ahead columnist at McClatchy Tribune News Services based in Miami. Tom, always good to have you on the show. Let's begin with the government shutdown, now the third longest in U.S. history. Is there an issue with the economy here, an impact if this shutdown continues?
Well, sure. Yeah, there is. 800,000 people who are government employees not getting a regular paycheck is certainly going to hit 800,000 households and consumer spending and all of the types of items that are involved with that, not only just real estate and groceries and gasoline and car payments and maybe even student loan payments, you name it. It's muted compared to, the shutdowns of the 90s, which were whole government shutdowns, of course, which included many more people. But nonetheless, absolutely an economic impact here because of the number of households, but also some of the economic data is falling victim to this. The Census Bureau, for instance, where trade data is collected and disseminated from, is affected by this shutdown. So simply even some statistics that traders and investors would like to see in real time on the U.S. economy, they've fallen victim to the shutdown.
Now, in general, I don't want to be too light about this because, as you mentioned, a lot of households are seriously impacted by it. But in general, when we have these shutdowns, does everything sort of bounce back once it's settled? It's not necessarily a long-term economic impact.
No, it's not because at least the practice has been for full-time government employees who are furloughed during these shutdowns tend to get back pay. Now, for government contractors or freelancers, whether or not they'd be included in any of that back pay would frankly be up to the negotiators between the House Democrats and the Trump administration. So, muted certainly in terms of economic data We may see some asterisks on some statistics in the months ahead, assuming that the shutdown ends sometime soon. But again, for those 800,000 households with those paychecks from the federal government, some of that economic damage can continue for months, if not longer.
Tom, let's turn to trade with China. Another big headline today. Trade war continues. A two-day round of trade talks have begun. Beijing now saying both sides have expressed a desire to hammer out a deal. What's the feeling on that?
Lots of hopes, fingers, toes, and eyes are crossed that the trade talks between the U.S. and China here in 2019 don't suffer the same fate as the last-second field goal for the Chicago Bears did yesterday, hit the crossbar and bounce out. They need to get this thing through the uprights for the market. I mean, you're seeing in the market reaction, Lisa, some optimism, some buying optimism when you have those kinds of positive, productive comments coming from the United States and China, as opposed to a kind of a trade war over Twitter that the president can exercise his thumbs in sometimes via his mobile phone. So I think a lot of the relief rally we've seen over the last several sessions, some of that's been fueled by good hope that that the trade negotiations that are happening today and Tuesday, tomorrow in Beijing, setting the stage for higher level trade negotiations later on this month, will come to some fruitful conclusion. Remember, the deadline here is March 1st. That was a self-imposed deadline that the Trump administration and China kind of put on themselves, the U.S. put on itself, so as to come to a conclusion with the trade talks, not to impose yet another higher import tax on Chinese goods come March 1st.
And it said it may not have a comprehensive deal, but maybe a smaller agreement?
Well, you know, every journey begins with one step. So I think anything productive-wise that's not leading to another round of import taxes, either from the Americans on Chinese products or from the Chinese on American products, has got to be seen as a step in the right direction, that at least the trade negotiators are understanding that it is not a zero-sum game, that that either side has to win everything for the other side to lose everything.
Tom Hudson, good analysis as always. Tom is Week Ahead columnist at McClatchy Tribune News Services. Coming up, how that missed Bears field goal impacts the local economy.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Bears season ended abruptly with a missed field goal in the final seconds of yesterday's playoff game against Philly. Let's discuss the economic fallout with Danny Ecker, reporter with Crain's Chicago Business. Danny, probably tough to calculate exactly the economic impact, but certainly for a lot of businesses there is an impact. Give us an idea of which businesses are now affected.
Sure. Well, I think for the most part, something like this at a time of the year like this, where there's not a lot of people inhabiting too many bars and restaurants with bad weather going on, you know, it's really bartenders and servers at restaurants and bars around town that, you know, were kind of maybe praying the most, praying the hardest that kick would have gone in and the Bears would have pulled it out. Because certainly for those businesses and those jobs, really, it's a matter of, I mean, that would have been a nice gift, especially since the Bears have not been in the playoffs in 8 years. This is something that they were gracious to have, but certainly were very close to having more of. And that's really where the big impact would be felt. I think, you know, you could make the case that people who aren't spending their money at bars watching the Bears next Sunday might be spending it elsewhere, so there could be some winners, I suppose. But yeah, that's really who kind of hurts when something like this happens.
Again, probably tough to calculate, but is there a tourism angle to this too, where if you have people around the country talking about your team, it seems like being top of mind may lead to more tourists?
I don't think it's really hard to make the case to say that really, you know, the Bears going much deeper makes people really want to come to Chicago more. The Bears have no problems with branding and being a national name and are, you know, frequently on national television, so, you know, shots of the skyline and of Lake Michigan, that they're constantly on people's on television. So, you know, it's hard to make the case that people would be coming in from out of town and more money coming into the city from the Bears, you know, continuing in the playoffs. So I think this is one of those things that it's just more of a shot and a sting to people's fandom, and you know, it's I think there's also a lot of people who are thinking that this was far greater than they had their expectations for the Bears this year. So there's a lot of people who are kind of thinking, now this was a good year and the future is bright.
We hope so. And of course, stadium apparel and all fan shops suffer big time because the more the Bears win, the more we want to show our pride, the more money we spend. I read something on Twitter. Cody Parkey's jersey was going for $1 at the dollar store or something, some joke like that. But of course, you know, you're going to hit it in the pocket with the stadium apparel, of course.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's, you know, again, if you take a step back and look at it to say what the Bears have done this year versus where they were a year ago and where expectations were a year ago, you know, there are stars that have emerged this year, and you talk about apparel and jersey sales for the Bears. I'm sure they've gone up this year. So, you know, it's very difficult to, you know, with only, 12 hours here or so since that game, to kind of look and say, oh, well, what could have been, but really step back and look at what the season was. And I think a lot of people in the Bears organization and Bears fans are happy with it and have spent money, you know, supporting the Bears, whether through tickets or, you know, through buying more Bears apparel. So I think that's probably on pace to continue.
Danny Ecker, always good to have you on the show. Danny's a reporter at Crain's Chicago Business. A check of the markets from Bloomberg next.
WBBM Business News now at 12:25. Let's head to Market Watch, sponsored by FinishingChicago.com. Here's Elisa Ferenti.
Lisa, we continue to see nice gains across the board. The Dow up 240 points or 1%. NASDAQ gaining 1.75% or 111 points. And the S&P is higher by 33. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg up almost 1.5%. Crude oil futures are a part of that story today. They are rising more than 2.5% at $49.19. All of the gains come as leaders discuss trade negotiations in China, between the China and the U.S., and that has some optimism across the board. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We've had two-sided trade here at the Board of Trade. Corn's only been in a 2-cent range from down a penny to up a penny, basically, at the moment. December's down a quarter, 403 and three quarters. Beans have been in a 7-cent range. At the moment, March up 1 3/4. The November's up 2.5 at 959.5. And wheat's been in a 5-cent range. We have May wheat down 2 3/4 at 520, all two-sided, all worried about China trade and the South American crop size. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Lisa Fielding. And for Chris Kreidel, here are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets are starting the week higher. We'll see what's moving Wall Street.
It's Stock Picker Monday. We'll get a couple of suggestions from an investing pro.
The Consumer Electronics Show opens this week. We'll get a peek at some of the latest devices for the connected home.
And Chicago's Workman's Compensation Program will be audited in the wake of charges against Alderman Ed Burke.
On Wall Street, the Dow up 219 points, NASDAQ up 108, the S&P up 31, oil today up a little more than 2.5%.
AccuWeather says cloudy, windy, mild, rainy today, tapering off later, highs in the 50s. Diminishing winds tonight, mostly cloudy with a low of 37, and a shower or two in the morning tomorrow. 47 degrees now at O'Hare at 12:31.
The Noon Business Hour presented by Old Second Bank. The market's starting the week on a positive note. Let's find out what's going on. Chuck Lieberman is joining us, Chief Investment Officer at Advisors Capital Management in Ridgewood, New Jersey. Chuck, index is up 1.5%. What do you make of what's going on today?
Well, we tend to take the elevator down and we take the staircase back up. The elevator down was the sharp fall off in the entire fourth quarter. It was a pretty dramatic decline. I think it was badly overdone. I think people were nervous about the possibility of a recession. And there is no recession, as we saw on Friday with that jobs report. So we're slowly but surely working our way back.
What sorts of things are investors looking at as they decide to get money back into the market?
Well, I think they're looking for value. They always tend to look for value, and there's lots of it around. The average stock in the S&P 500 now trades for less than 15 times 2000 19 earnings. That's a very low number. It's below average, and it's way below average for when interest rates are as low as they are.
How will these trade talks in China, you know, make an impact?
That's a tough one. Everyone knows that a deal is likely at some point, but you know, the ebbs and flows of the negotiating process are awfully messy, which is a characteristic of pretty much everything in the Trump administration. So we're going to get tweets. We're going to get steps forward. We're going to get steps backward. At the end of the day, I think that some sort of deal will be done. I hope it's a good deal. That remains to be seen. But in the meantime, the economy is going to continue to roll ahead. Corporate profits are going to do well. So I think the China thing is very important longer term. I think it's less important in the short run.
We had a surge on Friday, and things are looking in the green today. Do you think that's going to be the trend this week?
Yeah, I'm very comfortable. I think the stock market overshot to the downside. So I think we're going to be seeing positive performance on net, you know, not every single day, of course, but on net for at least a little while.
So let's back to China for just a moment. You said that you're hopeful that there'll be a good deal. What would a good deal look like, specifically to people on Wall Street?
Well, the truth of the matter is that China plays the game in a very uneven way, in an unfair way. I think there's a lot of truth to what Trump has maintained. But he seems to be focusing more on the trade side, and I think the more fundamental issue is on intellectual property. They try to acquire intellectual property from foreign companies. They steal it if they can't get it, if they can't pressure companies to providing it. I think slowly but surely American companies have learned not to provide it, and so that puts a little more pressure on the Chinese to try to steal it. But the bottom line is that that's the behavior that really has to change. I don't worry as much about trade flows. Those will take care of themselves.
So if there is some kind of a deal involving intellectual property, does that bode well for the tech sector? I mean, what might actually benefit on Wall Street if that happens?
It bodes well for tech, but it also bodes well potentially for industrial manufacturing. Take a company like Boeing, right? Boeing's got a tremendous amount of technology wrapped up in those aircraft, and China would love to become a competitor of Boeing somewhere down the road. Boeing, I think, has wisely chosen not to do anything other than some assembly in China, and I think it would be a big mistake if they actually brought intellectual property to China. The same problem exists in the auto sector. The auto companies manufacture there, and I think the Chinese will learn how to manufacture better cars from the U.S. Auto companies.
Let's switch gears a little bit. Another week of the government shutdown. How are the markets reacting to that?
Well, obviously not very much. Most everyone thinks that this is going to be a temporary event. You know, Wall Street even goes so far as to joke that the best thing that could happen to the U.S. economy is for the U.S. government to shut down for a long period of time because they can't do much damage to us while they are shut down. So the real bottom line is I don't think it'll have a huge impact.
So what do you see as advice to investors, given some of these things going on, the shutdown, the trade war, and some volatility and a rough end to last year? What's your advice starting 2019?
Oh, it's pretty straightforward, actually. Stocks have sold off pretty sharply. This is a great opportunity to buy stocks at artificially depressed prices. You have to ignore short-term volatility, because that gets in the way of making good long-term decisions. If you're planning for retirement, for putting kids through school, you've got to take a longer-term perspective. And the very short-term volatility of the market, which is very sharp, I mean, it really is unnerving at times, that needs to be ignored. And when the market sells off, it's an opportunity to buy cheaply. And there are lots of great values out there.
Is there a particular sector that's maybe ripe for someone to swoop in and start buying?
Well, it's really a function of what the needs of the investor are. So, for example, if we're just a sort of a generic type of solid investment, I like the money center banks, Citigroup, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan. These are stocks that are cheap. Citi is trading below tangible book value, and they're buying back tremendous amounts of stock with their cash flow. So it's a really cheap company. I think it's going to increase pretty sharply in value over the next couple of years.
All right, Chuck.
For someone who needs income, they have to go in a different direction. So energy transfer, which is a big oil and gas pipeline, is a tremendous value with a very substantial yield.
Thanks, Chuck. Lots of great information today. Chuck Lieberman, Chief Investment Officer at Advisors Capital Management out of Ridgewood, New Jersey. Coming up, the rapidly increasing role of connected electronics in the home.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Consumer Electronics Show is happening in Las Vegas this week. Today, we're discussing the latest innovations for the connected home. Jennifer Jolly is a USA Today Tech Life columnist, also founder and editor-in-chief at techish.com, based in San Francisco. Jennifer, when we talk about a connected home, for people who are not familiar with that term, what exactly is that?
Well, we have never seen the kind of connected home that was just unveiled here about 15 minutes drive south of Las Vegas, Nevada today. It is the Builder KB Home Project, the first ever full-scale prototype concept home created from the foundation up with the very latest Jetsons-like new tech embedded, well, pretty much everywhere. So typically when you talk about a smart home, you're thinking about a connected television, some connected lights, maybe a smart doorbell, and some voice-activated speakers or smart screens. Well, this home has 400 different connected gadgets. It's a prototype model home, and really the first glimpse we're getting of the evolution of the smart home and the way that we'll start living pretty much sooner rather than later.
So is this voice commands? Is this on your phone? Are you doing it remotely from the other side of the world? I mean, what benefit is there to having a home that is this connected?
Well, the home does it for you. So you walk through the front door and the house wakes up. The blinds rise, lights come on, and the lights right now are set to mimic the time of day. So it matches your natural circadian rhythms. There's a robot who greets you at the front door. The robot's name is Keeker. He patrols the house like a guard dog when you're gone during the day, greets you when you come home. He can project movies, make phone calls for you, that sort of thing, play games. Then you can press a button on a wall. Again, we're just inside the front door next to the kitchen. You can press a button on the wall and the entire wall moves. So rather than having your rooms that you have to stick with until you remodel, these walls move at the press of a button, which creates new spaces throughout your house. So that's pretty incredible, too.
It's funny you mentioned the Jetsons, because that's certainly something we always think about as kids. You know, Epcot Center used to have the home of the future, and now we're catching up to all those dreams, you know, earlier. Is there a market for this? Are people buying? They want smart homes like this?
Well, developer KB Home is behind this particular prototype, along with every smart appliance and smart home company out there. And they said that they created it because of a demand for a home to evolve from smart to smarter, for a home to predict what we want, really before we even figure it out ourselves. And then also a huge demand, they're saying, in the marketplace for a home that can help you be healthier. So one of the other really big pieces of tech in this house is the Darwin Home Wellness Platform. It monitors and adjusts every aspect of the home environment 24/7. So there's these air quality sensors embedded in the walls. If I spray my hairspray, it pumps clean air in immediately to clean that up. And then the lights matching your circadian rhythms, all in a drive to help you sleep better. There's water purification. So the smart home isn't just about packing gadgets in. It's about also creating a home that's really working on your behalf all the time.
Wow, Jennifer, that sounds amazing. Jennifer Jolly, USA Today Tech Life columnist, founder and editor-in-chief of techish.com out of San Francisco. And be sure to join us each day this week during the Noon Business Hour for reports on the latest gadgets and devices from the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Geiger Wealth. Helping us out this afternoon, Matt Shapiro, President, MWS Capital here in Chicago. Matt, welcome back to the show. What's your first pick?
Hi, Cisco. First pick is Canada Goose Holdings. Stock symbol is GOOS. And, you know, any shopper out there this Christmas saw that, you know, this store was just absolutely slammed. They have a flagship store down on the Magnificent Mile. lines to go shopping at a store. Incredible to buy these $1,000 coats. Canada Goose, one of the most popular items this Christmas. You know, and a lot of people were very pessimistic, of course, about the stock market, but retail sales were exceptionally strong. And one of the big winners is going to be Canada Goose. It's just a matter of how good are these earnings going to be. The stock had been as high as 70, just a growth stock, Cisco, that was doing exceptionally well before we had the big correction. Bottomed out about 42. They've announced plans to continue to open stores, even in China, and the stock is responding well. It's just, you know, it's an expensive growth stock a little bit, and we'll see. The stock seems to be acting like they can put up those big numbers at the end of the year in this holiday quarter.
So it's about $46 a share. Where do you see it going?
Well, it depends, Cisco, on what the earnings report is going to be for this quarter. If they can make 75 cents a share, last year they had earnings growth and a revenue growth of about 40%. If they can put up eye-popping numbers again, easily $55.
And Matt, your second pick?
Lisa, my second pick is another kind of trend stock, something to look at with the market being down, is Canopy Growth, which is the leading cannabis company in the world, really. It's based in Canada. Stock is about $28, $29. It's been in the news, of course, so a lot of the tobacco companies or liquor companies are trying to get into this major growing legalization boom that's sweeping the United States. It's already legal in Canada. So Constellation Brands, one of the largest liquor companies in the world, has made a $5 billion investment in Canopy Growth. The stock symbol is CGC. It's listed both in Canada and on the New York Stock Exchange. This stock, again, very high, had been as high as $55, got smacked with the correction and all these sort of growth names, the smaller style growth names. Maybe people thought that, you know, the pot phenomena had played its course. However, this company has the largest cultivation space really in the world, and it's the best position. You've seen Philip Morris try to make plays into this. Its value right now is essentially lower than where Constellation Brands has warrants to purchase their $5 billion stake. So you're kind of buying it along with this very large liquor company at the same price, and you have all that potential growth in the future.
All right, looks like Canopy Growth is trading at about $30 a share. Stock Picker Monday, of course, Matt Shapiro. Thank you, President from WMWS Capital out of Chicago. And we'll take a look at the latest numbers on Wall Street coming up.
WBBM News Time, 12:55, wrapping up the noon business hour with a check of Wall Street, sponsored by FinishingChicago.com. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, we continue to see gains, although not quite what we saw earlier in the session, but the Dow is still up 160 points, or 0.2% at 23,593. NASDAQ up 97, or almost 1.5%, the S&P 500 is advancing 25 points. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg up more than 1%. The European Union has signaled that it's ready to buy even more from America after doubling its purchases of U.S. soybeans this season. Imports are bound to increase even further as the EU has started the process to authorize the use of U.S. soy for biofuels. Europe has become a key export destination for U.S. soybeans when China started avoiding American farm products. And it isn't just Apple. Samsung is having trouble getting people to buy new smartphones too. Analysts tell Reuters that Samsung's profits could drop for the first time in 2 years. And like Apple, a big factor is the slowing economic growth in China. With business at 25 and 55. Live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago. WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.